reading. The text that we'll be reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 2. That's page 991 in the Pew Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you today, enable us to have our hearts, our minds, our ears open to what you would have to say. Lord, we look at this opening of the book that Paul writes to Timothy, his true child in the faith. We see a man opening up to someone who is been his protege, someone who has followed along with him. And now he's sent him out to do your work. And Lord, as he begins this book, we see a message that not only is valuable for Timothy, but it's also valuable for us. To look to who you are as our God, our Savior. To look at the hope that we have before us because of what Jesus Christ has done. To see how you pour out on us your grace, your mercy, and your peace. O Lord, be with us today. Help us to set aside the cares of the week. Be with my words. May they be true to yours. And bless your people as we come before you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a funeral on Friday, and I was thinking of a passage to bring to the people there, and I've been studying this all week, and I said, ooh, boy, we've got salvation, God our Savior, we've got hope, Christ Jesus our hope, we've got grace, we've got mercy, we've got peace. What more could you ask for? And so I shared with the folks there from this passage. Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy. He's writing to this young man who he picked up along the way on a missionary journey. He calls him his true child in the faith. Did he bring him to faith? No, he didn't. Timothy was trained by his grandmother and his mother. But as Paul saw what God was doing in this young man's life, he took him along and he shared with him his life. Timothy followed that life and followed in the ministry after Paul. So Paul writes to Timothy, but also to each one of us who can be called the disciples of Jesus Christ. He writes to us with a promise from our God, our Savior, giving us a hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and the grace, the mercy, and peace that come to us as we live our lives before Him, as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ, as we live for Him each day. So Paul writes to Timothy and to us, telling of a life with purpose. A life where you belong, and a life that is full. First of all, that life with purpose. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and Christ Jesus our hope. Well, who's an apostle? Well, we know the 12 apostles, the ones that Jesus called out. Luke 6:13 talks about him calling the 12. One of them departed. One of them betrayed our Lord. And so in Acts, they replaced him with Matthias. Some would say that was a mistake and Paul was the one that was supposed to replace Judas, but no, I think Matthias was supposed to. He fit everything that they were looking for. And Paul comes along, and what is he called? He's called the apostle to the Gentiles. How is he an apostle? He is one who is sent out by God. And the church sent him on a mission to share with the Gentiles the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul has been sent by Christ to take the gospel to the world. And guess what? So have you. Each one here, if you call on the name of Christ, you are given a mission as well, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are around you, to share what God has done in your life and how Christ continues to be with you, taking you through so that you can live for him. We're all apostles, ones who are sent out into the world to share the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was set apart in a little different way than most of you, most likely. I don't know how many of you were walking down a road and all of a sudden a bright light comes and a voice comes out of heaven. Anyone have that experience? I didn't. Growing up in the church, I just sort of always knew that Jesus was Lord. I always believed. I don't remember ever not believing. Have I always lived in the way that I should? No. Did I need to learn and grow? Yes. And many of you are in that same situation. At some point, each one of you here needs to come and grapple with the truth of what Jesus Christ has done. If you're a young person who's grown up in the church, it's not your parents' faith that saves you. It's your faith. And that one who has come to earth from heaven, who has lived his life as a righteous life, doing what we could not do, obeying all the commands that God has given, and then dying on the cross for our sins. He is the one that we need to come to. We need to come to Jesus and have faith in him. If you're a young person who hasn't really gotten that, then make sure you're listening to what God has to say and what he has done for his people. We need to come to Jesus Christ as Savior and then make him Lord of our lives. So Paul was set apart by command of who? God, our Savior? Usually we think Jesus is our Savior, right? And I've just said that, I think. But it says God, our Savior. How is God our Savior? Well, we see over and over again, we sing it over and over again about God being the God of salvation. And in fact, we sing God, our Savior at times. It's in the Old Testament, but it's in the New as well. Where does the salvation come from? Well, John 3:16, what does that say? That God so loved the world that he sent his only son to do what? To live his righteous life and then die on the cross. And everyone who believes in him and what he has done will not perish but have eternal life. That's amazing. That God the Father sent his son into the world to suffer and to die. It's the only way that we can come into God's presence. None of us are righteous. If you think you're going to earn your way into heaven, it's not going to happen. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we need to come to God our Savior and look at the way that he is made for us to come, and that is through Jesus Christ, trusting in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Not only God our Savior, but Jesus, or Christ Jesus, our hope. Paul has been set apart by God, our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but also he looks to Jesus Christ as the hope that he has. Paul will, in this book, write about his abysmal state before turning his life over to Christ, or before Christ changing his life so that he would come to him. He'll look at how terrible he was, persecuting Christians. We all need Christ. He is our hope. And he is a hope that will not disappoint. As we live our lives before him, there will be struggles that we face in this world. Everything is not going to go as we've planned. Everything is not going to go the way we want it to. But we have a hope that God has a plan for us, that God will bring us along, that God is taking us to be with himself for all eternity. What a hope. Jesus comes as our Savior, but then, now, he is our intercessor in heaven, standing before the Father, one to whom we can come at all times. He is our mediator, and we can go to him. Hebrews 4 talks about that in such a wonderful way. You can read that at some point. We live a life with purpose. Paul is living his life as one who is set apart. You live your lives as one who is set apart to live for your God. And you will see the purpose that you have in this life and the joy that it brings by living out that purpose. So a life with purpose, but also a life where you belong. Paul calls Timothy that true child in the faith. How is he that true child in the faith? Well, he had a sincere faith, and it started in his grandmother Lois and then passed on through his mother Eunice. But then, as Paul picked him up, he walked with Paul. In 1 Timothy 3:10 to 11, he says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings." Timothy was with Paul through all of those things. He knew what it meant to live life as a follower of Jesus Christ. The joy of seeing that you are saved. The joy of seeing that you have a work to do. And the hardships of living in a sin-stained world. Timothy's seen all that. Now, Paul, though, isn't just taking Timothy along, and notice they're not together now. Why? Because Timothy's come to the point where Paul sent him off to do the work on his own. He's in Ephesus, and he's dealing with all sorts of terrible things that are happening in the church. But he's come to the point where he can handle those things. He's given a work to do. And not only that, Paul will tell him, too, that he needs to entrust that work to faithful men. It's not Paul who's going to save the world. Paul is a minister of Jesus Christ who trains someone else, who then trains someone else. We continue to disciple. We continue to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all that God has taught us. And that's what's happening here. Paul has taught Timothy, and now he says, entrust these things to faithful men so that the work will continue. Paul calls Timothy a fellow worker, not just a child, but now he's a fellow worker in the faith, a true child. Now, Timothy, along with all believers, has a father in heaven who loves him, who has made a way for him to come to him, and who has given him a work to do. And that's true of you as well. You have a father in heaven. You have a brother in Christ. You have brothers and sisters of the faith here. You have earthly fathers in the faith. You have others that are training you. As we work together as the church of God, as the body of Christ, we're part of a family. Take pleasure in that. See what part of that family God has given you to be. How he has given you gifts to encourage others, to build others up in the faith, to move all of us along, that we might grow closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, then you belong to his family. You belong to his church. Grow with that family. Grow with that church. And finally, we live a life that is full. Notice the last part there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what is grace? D. James Kennedy defines it this way. God's riches at Christ's expense. Is grace free? No. You probably hear the things about our armed services. Freedom's never free. And it's true. Someone paid a price for your freedom, for your freedom from sin, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God pouring out his love on us because Christ bears the brunt of what we deserve. God gives us what we do not deserve. That is grace. Are you tempted to just sort of understand, yeah, God's a God of grace, but right now I'm not really seeing it? We were at a fair yesterday, and kids went on rides, and then I gave them tickets for more rides, and then I gave them money to go and do things, do some of the games, and then one of them comes up and says, well, why can't we have this? Or why can't we have more? I can't remember the exact words. Any of your kids ever do that to you? You know, after you've spent all day and all sorts of money and time and all this, and they come up, well, where's something else? Do we do that with God? Think of the grace that he's poured out on you. He sent his only son to come and live on this earth, to humble himself and become obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He has given you of himself. How often do we say, yeah, but that's just not meeting what I want right now? No. Look at what you have. Look at the wonder of his grace. Take pleasure in that grace and see how you give God pleasure. He has done so much to bring you into his family. Live as a part of that family. Grace, mercy. Now, Paul's usual greeting, we see it over and over again, grace and peace. Okay, he takes the Hebrew greeting of peace, shalom, and combines it with sort of an amped up version of the Greek greeting. And so we get grace and peace. But here, as he does in 2 Timothy as well, he adds this middle word, mercy. Why? Well, it is the manner in which God pours out his grace on us. It's in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word hesed. And it's a rich word. You'll see it translated as mercy. In fact, the Septuagint almost always translates it with the same word that's used in the Greek here. But there's more to it. The way that it's used, it's that the way that God works, what? Sometimes it's considered grace. Sometimes it's considered love. It's God pouring himself out to us, dealing with us in mercy. If you read or sing steadfast love, most likely it's the word that's here. Why? Why does Paul add this? Well, he may be just drawing out that rich understanding of what God has done for us from the Old Testament. But there could be another reason. Timothy has to deal with some pretty tough issues. Here in this church, they aren't just all happy and getting along and everything's going well. Can you imagine that? Churches not getting along? Are people in church not getting along? I can't even fathom that. But Timothy's got to deal with these people who have these bickerings. And he's got to straighten them out so that they can bring glory to God. He's been given by God to help them to work through these difficulties. Not only that, Timothy's not doing so well physically. Any of you have some physical difficulties that you've dealt with? As I look around, I know there are some people who have dealt with physical difficulties. Here's one over here in a sling. So there are problems that we face. Timothy, he's not that strong physically. Paul tells him to take a little wine for his stomach. So you can tell that there's something at issue there. Paul himself, he's given a thorn in the flesh. You ever had a thorn? My land up in Herman, when I first got it, there were these trees that just covered every path. And they had thorns on them that were about this long. And they didn't come down easily. And so it got poked quite a few times. Physical problems can be painful. Physical problems can set you back and make you wonder, why, God? Why is this happening to me? And yet, have you ever noticed how someone coming through physical difficulties, coming through struggles of any kind, really, how that person can be a model of what Christ can do and how Christ can pour grace into them and others see it and others come to faith because of how that person is dealing with the difficulty? Well, Paul comes and he says to Timothy, here is our God of grace. Here is a God of mercy. And also a God of peace. As we look at the life that we live for our God, how do we see those three words working out in our lives? Do we understand God's grace and all that he's done for us? Can we be content with what he has given us? Do we see his mercy poured out on us, not only through the cross, but his mercy day by day as he takes us through this life, he takes us through the struggles that we face? You know, Christians were never told that everything will be grand after they come to faith. The fact is, we're told we're going to face persecution, we're going to face struggles. And as we come through them, we bring honor and glory to our Lord. Not only that, though, we can come to a point where we can be at peace. Even in the midst of struggles, even in the midst of hardship, we can be at peace because we know the God who will take us through. We can rest in him. We can pour ourselves out to him. We can see the peace that only he can bring. In our world, when people talk about peace, I don't know if you've ever looked at seen any of the Miss America shows. Anyone watch those? I haven't seen one in a very, very long time. But what half of them, as they come and they say what they want, it's, oh, I want our world to be at peace in some way. They might have something else there. But have our world be at peace. How's that going to happen? Well, it's not going to happen in our world as long as it's stained by sin. You know how a true peace will come to our world? It's when Jesus comes again and he judges the earth and he brings in a new heavens and a new earth. Then the whole world will be at peace, and that'll be the first time that our whole world will be at peace since the Garden of Eden. The fact is, our world is stained by sin, and we're still going to see the destruction of that sin to the world around us. But we can have peace, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of struggles. We can have peace if we're coming to our God and resting in him. We serve a God of grace. We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God that will bring us, who will bring us peace. No matter what we face in life, that God of grace, of mercy, and peace will take us through. He will be there for us. We can rest in him. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you today, help us to know your grace, to see how your mercy has been poured out upon us and continues to be, to rest in your peace. Lord, help us to be lights for you in this dark world. Enable us to live each day as someone who has been sent into this world by a loving God, a God who continues to bring people to himself. Help us to look forward to that hope that we have that will not disappoint, that hope of being taken through the difficulties of this life, but then to be able to rest with you for all eternity. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful message that Paul has given to us about your grace, your mercy, and your peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.